The gospel reading today, we are told that the apostles came to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go before he was to ascend, and they worshiped him, but they doubted. That's a pretty sad statement. And yet, we might look into our own hearts and see perhaps some of that happens within us too. Obviously, we're here to worship him. But how many of us might have some doubts, might entertain something within ourselves that we're just not certain? And we need to understand the importance of that little statement, because there is only one God, and there is only one Savior. And if Jesus isn't God, we aren't saved. We have no hope if that's the case. And so if we're not sure about this, then what we're saying is that my soul isn't saved. So this has massive ramifications. Either Jesus is the Messiah or he's not. There is no in between. It's not, well, maybe he is. No, there's no maybe. It's he is or he's not. There isn't any other option. And so are we going to worship him or are we going to doubt him? The apostles tried to do both and it didn't work. We have to make that choice one way or the other. We look also at what happened with the apostles and what are the struggles that they had. In the first reading, we hear them ask the question, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were interested about worldly things. Their focus was on the world. Jesus said, look, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons the Father has established by his own authority, but he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit has descended upon each one of us. That means the power of the Holy Spirit is there in us so that we can be his witnesses in the world. But if either we're doubting or we're more focused on the world than we are on him, what kind of witness can we be? Imagine if St. Paul were going around preaching and saying, well, Jesus might be the Messiah. Well, who's going to believe him? He might be. Remember the two disciples along the road to Emmaus had that same problem. We were hoping, they said, that he was the one. They were hoping that he was. But now he died. We heard that he's resurrected, but we were hoping. They didn't believe. That's where we have to look at ourselves. Are we entertaining any doubts? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit. And listen again to what St. Paul says, because this is about you. Understand that. This is about you and me. He first prays that God the Father would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. First, do we want knowledge of God? Because we have to want it. He's not going to force it on us. We have to choose that that's what we want. We have to have our heart open to be able to receive that. Then he goes on and prays that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. Why? So that, number one, we would know the hope that belongs to his call. You have been called by God. How often do we even think about that? Let that sink in for a minute. Make it first person. I have been called by God. That's what each one of us needs to say. God has called me. And we can't say that arrogantly, because remember, God, St. Paul says, God chooses the weak, he chooses the lowborn, he chooses the one who are nothing. He didn't look at you and say, there's no one better that I've ever created, so of course I'm going to choose you. You're the best. That's not what he did. I always say God has the best sense of humor of anyone that I have ever met. It's very dry, but very funny. So you can go home and look in the mirror and say, God chose me, right? Well, we know why he chose me, because he couldn't find anyone worse. So he chose us. Praise him. Because the people who he's given all this stuff to, that they're high and mighty, they don't think that they need God. But people like you and me, we know that we need him. But it's not just a matter of saying we need God. God called us. And he has given us a hope of that call, which is nothing short of eternal life. But in this world, it's also union with Jesus. So St. Paul goes on, so that we would know what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones. The riches of his glory among the inheritance. You participate in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Because when you were baptized into Christ, you are a member of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the inheritance, which is our Lord's, is yours. And the wonderful thing about this inheritance, unlike whatever you might receive from your parents, for instance, let's say your parents had $1 million and they have 10 kids, well, each one then gets 100,000. You don't get the whole thing because it gets split up. But you know what your inheritance is? God. That's your inheritance. It is God himself. And he's infinite. So you don't get just a part, because there are no parts in God. You get the whole inheritance. And so does everybody else. Nobody is lacking in this, because the whole thing is ours. That's the glory that God has for you and me. In the meantime, listen to what St. Paul says, that we would know the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accordance with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens. The power of the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord is already at work in you. That's what St. Paul said. That you would know the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. This is why we can't be entertaining doubts. Because if we're going to believe, then the power of God can be at work in us. What's the power that's there? Jesus said it in the gospel. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All power. That's yours. If we believe. Now, once again, look at that and ask yourself, do I? Do I really believe, or do I doubt? Do I really believe that God's power can be at work in somebody like me? How can that be? It's not because of us, it's because of him. If he has chosen it and he has said it, then it is. The saints tell us, and Scripture tells us the same thing, we don't see the power of God at work within us because we don't really believe it. Because we don't really trust and believe that God is really going to do these things. And therefore, we don't see the power of God at work in us. The saints, they believed. And that's why we see the power of God at work in them. I remember watching a documentary on Father Solanus Casey. And there was one of the monks was talking about something that had happened. And he said something that was really tragic and really astounding. He said, the difference between Father Solanus and the rest of us is that he believed what Jesus said. Like, really? This was a priest speaking. The difference between him and us is that he believed what Jesus said. Therefore, he knew that all that power was at work in him and he could do these extraordinary things because he believed in what Jesus said. So why don't we see it? Do we believe? Do we really trust? Do we really have confidence that the power of God is at work within us? That was the statement that that priest made. And it's rather telling, isn't it? And in case you're not sure, in case you're saying, well, I don't know if the power is really at work in me. I mean, I can understand it in Jesus, but... So St. Paul goes on. He said he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. You're a member of the body of Christ. Where the head is, that's where the body is. That's why St. Paul says, set your focus on the things of heaven, not the things of earth, because you're already seated at God's right hand. Obviously, until we die and we go there, we're not there in the fullness of our being. But we're already there. In baptism, we were baptized into the death and resurrection of the Lord, but also into his ascension, into his glory. The ascension is like the exclamation point at the end of the Paschal mystery. The death and resurrection of Jesus is certainly what is central. But if he didn't rise, I mean, if he didn't ascend into heaven, what hope would there be for the rest of us? I mean, imagine that. We could say, oh boy, we get to rise from the dead and we get to wander the earth for the rest of eternity. What a waste. God didn't create us for this. He created us to be in heaven. And our Lord is already there at his right hand with our humanity. He took our humanity with him to heaven and raised that humanity above the angels. And it's seated at the right hand of God. That's a humanity that is the same as ours. And you have been given a participation in the divinity of Christ. He took our humanity to himself and he gave us a participation in his divinity. So in his divinity and his humanity, he is seated at the right hand of God. In your humanity, with a participation in his divinity, you are seated at the right hand of God. That's why all the power that God showed in raising Jesus from the dead and bringing him to heaven and seating him at his right hand is at work in you and me, because we're a member of Jesus and we're already united with him in his glory if we're in the state of grace. But again, it comes back to that question. Do we really believe that? How many are listening to this and saying, that sounds nice, but not for me. That couldn't really be. How can it happen? It happens because you're baptized. It happens because you're a member of Jesus Christ. It happens because God promised it, and God cannot lie. But let's go back to that Franciscan priest. The difference between Father Solanus and the rest of us is that he believed what God said. So we have one guy who really believed what God said, and the rest didn't. What a sad statement. So is it any wonder that the apostles worshiped, but they doubted? Because what are we doing? Are we giving him lip service, but our hearts are far from him? Do we worship him, but we doubt? And we might say, well, I don't doubt him, but I doubt me. He's the one that made the promise, not us. You're not looking at it saying, well, I deserve this after all. Of course, I should have this. You're not saying that. It's him who made the promise. And so it's a question of whether we're going to believe him, whether we're going to accept what he said. So all power in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father through his ascension and glorification. And you're a member of Jesus Christ. You are with him at the right hand of the Father, which means all power in heaven and on earth is given to you. Do you recognize that happening in your life? Do you believe that that's happening in your life? It's there whether we want to believe it or not. But if we don't believe it, we're not going to exercise it. And that's not a power to be able to do whatever we feel like doing. It's the power of God. It's the power to love. It's the power to bring conversion, to bring salvation. It's the power to be able to rise above the things of earth and to focus on the things of heaven. It's the power to be able, as Jesus said, to witness to him. That's the power that's given to us. That's at work in us. And so as we go along, ask yourself seriously, pray about this through the Mass and beyond. Do I really believe? Do I really believe that he has the power to change bread and wine into himself? Do I really believe that he is going to enter into me? That he wants to be united with me? If all power in heaven and on earth is given to him and he's right there in the Eucharist and we get to receive him in the Holy Eucharist, once again, it means all power in heaven and on earth is right there in us because he is God in us. So we don't have an argument against it. The only thing that we can do is not believe. And what a tragedy that would be. Because God loves you so much that this is what he's giving to you. Because you are his own son or daughter. He's given all power to his son. And you're a member of the Son of God. All power is yours. The power of God for doing good is yours. So all we can do is listen again to the words of Jesus when he spoke to Thomas. Doubt no longer, but believe. Because isn't that again what St. Paul said? That this surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. That's what it comes down to. Not just generically, yeah, I guess I believe that God exists or whatever. But putting that faith into practice, that's what he's giving to us. Now, what are we giving back to him? He wants our faith. He wants us to worship him. And listen to that. He's calling. So there you go.